He said, the Gemara says Yesh Oimrim. So you might think, oh, Pseidah, we said Pseidah, but the next line says, V'ilchus Lek Yesh Oimrim, so therefore, it's irrelevant. That's the halacha. I took out the Musa from that shir. The Musa from that shir is very important. Like he says, according to Rashi, the reason why if you eat in the street you're possible Eidos is because you don't treat yourself with any self-dignity. So the question is, okay, Besedus, he has very low self-esteem and doesn't treat himself seriously. What's that got to do with giving false witness testimony? How do you understand? Why is one contingent on the other? The answer is, because once you don't care about your gashmis, you don't care about your ruchmis either. That's what Rashi is saying. If you don't treat yourself seriously, I'm worth nothing. Therefore, I can act like a dog. I can act like a doma lekelev if I eat in the street. So therefore, if anything I do, it doesn't really matter and is not significant. So if I do aveiras either and I lie, it's also not significant. It's unimportant. It makes no difference. That's why if you listen carefully to Rav Kornfeld's Joshua's for the last 15 years, and you realize that every single drush of his is really the same drush. He always talks about the covered of Klal Yisrael. Realize what you are. Realize that a Jew is something different, not just better, something different. What he's trying to pump, the message he's trying to pump is that if you treat yourself as an elevated being, then you act in an elevated way. But if you treat yourself as an animal, then you behave like an animal. You couldn't care, it makes a difference. An animal doesn't care one way or another how he gets his food, what people think of him, or what does he do, or what's right, or what's not right, doesn't matter. That's exactly what Rashi is teaching us. It's unbelievable. You might end up giving false testimony, which is one of the worst avirahs in the world, all because you eat in the street, because you don't treat yourself seriously, you don't treat yourself with any respect, and you think that whatever you do is of no significance whatsoever. So if it's of no significance whatsoever, then whatever I do has no significance. I do say the truth, I don't say the truth, it doesn't matter. I'm unimportant. I've quoted it many times. I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned it in the parasha shir. I've always wanted to mention it. But I once saw a line. There's a sefer called, have you ever heard of Reb Tzadok HaKohen? Tzadok HaKohen is one of the classic, difficult to understand Hasidic works. Now listen to the following line. You can fall off your chair when you see a line like this. He says as follows. This is almost a word-for-word quote as far as I remember it. He says, K'moi she'odom chayev l'ha'amin b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just like a person is chayev to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach chayev l'ha'amin ba'atzmi. The most phenomenal line. What does that mean? I believe in myself. If I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the struggle that we have in believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I don't see it. Who says HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists? I have to work on it. But I know that I exist. I'm here. So what does it mean? Just like you have to believe in Hashem, just you have to believe in myself. I believe in myself. I'm here. What does it mean? It doesn't mean I believe that he exists or doesn't exist. It means he believes in the value of. Having emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just, okay, I believe God exists. Fine, I'm sorted out. No! It means I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of ultimate value, as it were, kaviyachol. Is the all-significant being. So therefore, in similar vein, you have to treat yourself in similar vein as well. People who don't treat themselves seriously means they don't really care. It doesn't matter. Whatever I do doesn't matter. It's of no consequence. It's unimportant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like me. I had a few weeks ago, a girl came with her parents. She's, I think, about 16 or something, completely off the derech. Completely off the derech. She keeps nothing from the worst of the worst of it. So I said to her, I want to ask you a question. We were talking about different things. I said, do you think Hashem loves you? I said to her. So she stopped to think about it. And then she said, well, if he exists at all, she says to me, so the girl comes from a full family, if he exists at all, he probably hates me. Those were her words. He probably hates me. I'm worth nothing. I don't do what he wants. Now, once you believe that, and the truth is, between you and me, I don't really think that she believes that at all. That's her get-out clause. That's her get-out clause. I'm sure she does not believe that. I mean, if God exists. She comes from a strong family. She's not such a bright girl that she's some super deep theologist, psychologist, that she's managed to prove beyond reasonable doubt that God doesn't believe. Have I ever told you that Rabbi David Orlovsky story? You've heard of Rabbi Orlovsky? So he says, Rabbi Orlovsky, besides being very comical, he's also very, very bright, very astute. Whenever he has these ask the rabbi questions, you know, if you're not on the ball, he'll just gobble you up for breakfast. So he says that some teenager there, some ask the rabbi panel, irreligious, just Rabbi Orlovsky, I'm an atheist. You must have heard this. I'm an atheist. So Rabbi Orlovsky, you know, been there, seen it, done it, he's unmoved. He's really an atheist, uh-huh. So tell me, says this teenager, have you ever read the early Jewish philosophical works? You know, Reb Sadia Gaon and the Rambam and Meir Nevuchim, you know, our great philosophical, theological work. Have you ever read these works? No. Ah, okay. Have you ever read maybe perhaps some of the later works, the medieval works, the Kuzari and other philosophical Jewish writings? No. Oh, have you ever read any of the contemporary works? Like in recent times, yeah, Shmuel Fol Hirsch and Destler and other books of Jewish thought? No. So you say, well, you're not an atheist, you're just an idiot. You're not an atheist. He said to her, you probably sat thinking one night, does God exist? No. That's it. Why? Because it suits you down to the ground that God doesn't exist. Because if God doesn't exist, then I don't have to listen to him because he doesn't exist. It's very simple. So either way, this girl tells me that if God exists at all, if, Sophic, if God exists, I'm sure he probably hates me. Now, I'm convinced that she knows that God does exist and she believes God exists. But it's a very easy get-out clause. God hates me. Why does he hate me? Because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Therefore, I'm a big rusher. God hates me. He wants to burn me to a crisp. I'm unimportant in his eyes. He doesn't cherish or love me anymore. And therefore, basically, I can do whatever I like now because anyway, he hates me. That's his whole lot. A person treats himself with respect and he realizes that the Lord loves him. Everything he does is important. That necessarily demands a different mode of behavior. Person who eats in the street says, I'm worth nothing, I'm like a dog. It's a kelev. Kelev! A kelev is happy to eat in the street, a kelev is happy to excuse himself in the street. No bush on that. Why? I'm unimportant. It doesn't matter. Nothing that I do matters. So if nothing that I do matters, then I might as well do whatever I want. It generally doesn't matter. I might as well lie and give a false testimony in Beis Din. That's what Rashi really saying. Very, very powerful Rashi. Sometimes we have a principle that if you're a choshud, you've heard the principle of choshud? Choshud means you're suspicious, you're a suspect. If somebody has lied in the past, then there's very reasonable grounds to be concerned that what? Then maybe you'll take a false oath. That I understand. He's suspect. He has a bad track record, that I understand. But why eating in the street? Is that a reason for using a lie? And that's what Rashi is telling you. That's not because he's suspect to do averas per se. He's suspect because he doesn't treat himself with any dignity or seriousness whatsoever. Nothing that he does matters. Therefore, I might as well do whatever I like. Okay. Back to story. So what's that it? No more pizza in the street now?
No more pizza in the street. My daughter was not happy about not getting chips in the store or anything.
She can get them because she's about to eat them.
But yeah, that's not good.
You can get them and all go to the park and sit down on the bench and then eat them very well. Has to be walking around eating chips, that's the avoda.
It doesn't matter, it's just changing what we're doing. That's the underlying thing.
Change is not easy. Okay, back to our story. So I've actually printed a new page of Marmakomis. I was going to send it out last night, but we have a little bit of a sugya. I'll send it out today, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll learn it together. We're coming up to a tricky little sugya, but first, we have a sugya before that. We were discussing last time, if you remember, the halachas of fruit juice. It's going to be a sugya that we're going to come up to again in a couple of daf's time, Be'ez Hashem. But for the moment, let's just remember the principles that we've learned. And that is, fruit juice, the Gemara tells you, is shehakol nibidvorei. Why? Because it's not considered to be a fruit anymore. What is it? Zeya. Zeya is simply moisture. Rashi said there are two exceptions, and those are grapes for wine, olives for oil, because those are essentially for the purpose of the mashke. And therefore, even when the mashke is extracted, we don't say that it's lost the status of fruit. And therefore, what is the brocha? Essentially, borei pri ha'etz. Happens to be that yain is an upgraded brocha, and it borei pri ha'gofen, and that's the whole story we learned in the beginning of the perek, because it's chashav, etc. But now I think that we understand that whole sugya much better. The Gemara says that yain is borei pri ha'gofen. The Gemara says, Maishno mishemen, what's the difference between shem, which is borei pri ha'etz? Now, having learned the sugi and of Lamad Chesamad Aleph, we understand that Gemara much better, because without Lamad Chesamad Aleph, we might well be excused for thinking, well, one moment, stop. Forget borei pri ha'gofen, forget borei pri ha'etz. Why not making shakel? Always fruit juice, you make shakel. Apple juice, orange juice, pear juice, strawberry juice, you always make a bracha of shahakel. So why are we discussing hagofen and ha'etz? Having learned this Gemara, now we understand the sugya very well. It's true, the general rule is fruit juice is shakel nevidvare. However, in the case of yayin and shemen, it does not lose its fruit status, and therefore it retains the bracha. Therefore, of the two, shemen and yayin, which one do we understand? Shemen makes perfect sense, and that's the Gemara's question. Wine is the one that needs explanation. Shemen doesn't need explanation, because shemen is a fruit which was always there for the purpose of its mashke. That's why it retains the status of fruit, and that's why it retains the bracha as well. But yayin, why all of a sudden are you switching bracha? And that was the whole Gemara there. But besides for that, the halacha is always shehakol nevidvorei, and that we saw in Tosfos. Tosfos made it a general rule, though he did bring, there were those who were chaylik, and remember he said at the end, with regard to sheicha, beer, even though beer has in it chamishes mini dogon, but this is not subject to the rule of Rav Shmuel. Remember Rav Shmuel told us the big rule, that whenever you have food which chamishes mini dogon in it, it always has a broch of mezoines, but sheicha does not. Either because it's completely been pulverized to nothing, or because necessarily it's a drink, it's not a food. There's no such thing as mezoinus on a drink. It was a very, very, very important tasteless. Either way, I believe we looked this up in Shulchan Aruch. We did, and the Shulchan Aruch passed on this halacha clearly, and it's just very, very gishmak to do what we knew anyway, but at least now we see the sources, now we know where it comes from. So that's the general rule. Fruit juices are shahakum. Okay, let's have a look at the Gemara. Omale hahu merabonon lerava. What does that mean, hahu merabonon? It doesn't say omale rabonon lerava. How many people are talking to how many people?
One to one.
Rava is being spoken to, and one of the rabbonon is talking to Rava. For whatever reason, it's anonymous. That's what it means. Hahu mei rabbonon. Him of the rabbonon. One of the rabbonim, we don't know who, anonymous at this stage, talks to Rav, and he says to him the following: Terima mahu. Now, what is terima? Look at Rashi. Very important Rashi. Terima mahu, says Rashi. Ma mevorchin olav. That was the question. What's the bracha on terima? V'shem terima, quote unquote. The word terima is a reference to what? Kol dovar. Now look at Rashi very carefully. Hakosush ketas, which is slightly ground, ve'enoi marusuk, but is not completely mashed up. Very, very, very important. If I would take a potato, for example, which we know the bracha is borei pri adama because it comes from the ground, and I would mash it up, seems to be that maybe the bracha would change. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about where you've crushed it slightly. Rashi says, kosush katsas. But you haven't completely mashed it. So the indication is that for what really is the question, what are we asking essentially? If you would completely mash it up, then what?
It
would sound, no, it sounds like you would change the bracha. Our sofek is when you only go halfway. If you would mash it up completely, and even then you would have a sofek, well, why would you need to talk about terima? Just talk about when you've mashed it all the way. It would seem to be that, no, if I mash it all the way, then it would change the bracha. I basically liquidized it. So then the halacha would be, it would change bracha. Our suffix is, how mashed is mashed? When it's mekustosh ktsas, hakostosh ktsas, when it's slightly ground, but not completely mashed up, does that constitute merusak? Is that considered a change of status or not a change of status? That's the shaila. Now, says the Gemara, loy hava adaite derava, my ko'omar lei. What does that mean, loy hava adaite, says Rashi? Loy hoyomevin. He didn't understand mahu shoyel. He didn't really understand what the question was. What was he referring to? Terima, as Rashi has just explained to us, is a very general definition of a food which is slightly mashed. But which particular food are you talking about? He didn't understand what he was referring to. Yosef Ravina Kamedarova. All of a sudden, Ravina now sits down in front of Rava. So there's now three people there. There was Rava, there was one of the Rabbonon, and now Ravina has joined forces. So Yosef Ravina Kamei de Rava. So Ravina sits down in front of Roma Omale, and he presents to him, to who? Who's he talking to? No? Have a look at Rashi. Omale. Omale Ravina Lahahuma Rabbonon. He's sitting in front of Rava, but the one of the Rabbonon who initially posed the question is also there as well. So Ravina turns round to him and says, listen, you just asked Rava a question, and Rava doesn't understand your question. Could you please expound? Again, look at Rashi. Omale Ravina Lahahuma Rabbonon. Ravina said to this one of the Rabbonim, Ezoi Trima Atoshael. Which Trima are you asking about? Robber is confused. What are the choices? Three choices. Look at the Gemara. Again, Yosef Ravina Kamei de Rava Omale, and he said to him, what are you referring to? The Shumshami Ka'omret? Are you referring to sesame? In other words, slightly crushed but not completely mashed sesame. Oy, the kuratami. We'll have to see what that is. Ka'omrit. Oy, the puratsani ka'omrit. Three choices, says Rashi. The kuratami karakoim. What's karakoim? Some sort of spice.
Saffron.
Is spice. Shekois shim oisoi. Where one crushes it, although one does not mash it, the noisnim boy, and you put in it yain, wine, v'shoisin, and you then drink it. So you crush it, and then you add wine to it, and you drink it. Is that what you're referring to? Option number one. Option number two, oidasum simi lahoitzi shamnon. Sesame has oil content in it. Are you referring to grinding slightly, although not mashed completely, sesame for the purpose of extracting its shemen? Oy, the puritsani kasisha. Again, Rashi uses the word kasisha, not risuk, not mashed, just crushed a little bit. Kasishas anovim, you would grind up, but not completely liquidize and pulverize grapes. Lo seis letoich hacharetzanim mayim. What's charetzanim? Charetzanim are the peels. So you basically, you crush the grapes, all the wine goes. What are you left with? The peels. And you put mayim in it. Lasois temed. Temed is always, this is exactly what it is. It's a mixture of, it's basically wine with a twist of, water with a twist of wine. Hasn't got any wine in it, but it's got the grape peels in it in order to give it a flavor of wine. So again, either we're talking about you're crushing karachoim or sesame or grapes, but you're not mashing it up. You have not liquidized it. That's the question. So he turned around to him, Ravina, and said to the Rabbanon, he said, what were you referring to? When you asked Rava your Shaila, which one of the three that I just mentioned were you referring to? Says the Gemara, Adahochi Vahochi. What does that mean, Adahochi Vahochi? Means by the by, or in the meantime. Aske Rava Ledaite. Rava suddenly understood what the question was after all. So Rava initially didn't really follow the question. Ravina poses different options, and by the by, Adahochi Vahochi, in the meanwhile, while this conversation is going on between Ravina and the Rabbanon, one of the Rabbanon, all of a sudden, Aske Rava Ledaite. Rava arrived Ledaite. What does the word Aske mean? Like similar to the word, no, similar to the word like Maskona. When we have a Gemara, we have a Maskona. What does the Maskona mean? The conclusion. So Aske Rava, as it were, Ledaite, he concluded Ledaite to his das, to his no. He understood what he meant. In the beginning, the Gemara says, no, have a adaiti. Now, yes, have a adaiti. He finally, the penny dropped, he finally understood exactly what it was that he was asking. Omale, he said to him, who said to who? Rava. He said to him, oh, chashilta vadai ka omret. That's what you meant. You must have meant chashilta. The adkarton milsa ho domer avasi. And he remembered. Remember, we have the principle. How do you convert Aramaic to Hebrew? If there's a dalet in the word, you switch it to a zayin. So dochar becomes zochar. Instead of va'adkarton, which looks like a scary word, it's va'azkarton. He remembered milsa. He remembered the matter. Hod Amar Ravasi. What did Ravasi say? Hi, tamri shel truma. If you have dates of truma, muta lasois mehen trima, vasar lasois mehen sheichon. The halacha is that when a Yisrael gives truma to a kohen, the kohen has to eat the truma, and one is not allowed to be mafsid the truma. What does that mean, not allowed to be mafsid the truma? You obviously can't throw it out or burn it, but even to downgrade it is considered a zilzal in truma. Now, if I am given grapes or fruit as truma, and I want to crush it a little bit, is that considered a downgrade or not? Now that will help us a lot to our Shaila. Remember, this is not the first time we've seen. If we want to know the halacha of the brochos, sometimes we can look elsewhere for the definition of fruit, and that will help us understand here as well. So if I've got food of truma, I know I'm not allowed to downgrade, which means I'm allowed to change its status. And it says you're allowed to make trima. You can't make sheikha. Sheikha means B, you've completely liquidized it. Oh, that's completely, you've changed the whole thing. That's a downgrade. But Trima, just want to mash it up a little bit, grind it, no problem. Oh, so let's copy and paste. What did that indicate to us about the status of Trima?
So they,
it retains the original state. And even though there the discussion is Truma, and by us the discussion is Bracha, is that we can copy and paste. If with regards to Truma, the fruit is not considered to have changed, and that's why it's mutter to do this, then presumably with regards to Brachas, it's the same. Therefore, whatever the Bracha was in the beginning, the Bracha is now as well. Says Rashi, Omalei Rava Chashilta Ka'omret Mitoich Divrei Ravina. Through the words of Ravina, Ravina was very helpful in what? In helping Rava understand. Rava didn't understand what Trima mean. He didn't know what it means, so what's the question? When Ravina gave him all the options, he understood, oh, I see what you mean. You mean you're talking about foods that you're crushing. That was your shaila. I didn't understand in the beginning. Mitoich divrei Ravina. Havin Rava es ha-shaila, says Rashi. Now Rava understood the question. Amalei, oh, I see. Dover mo'uch. What does mo'uch mean? Crushed. The word mo'uch means crushed. Oh, I see. Dover mo'uch sho'altani. You were asking me about a crush. This word trima is an unfamiliar word to us. If we threw him off, we didn't know what the question was. When Ravina started giving me all the various options, he said, oh, now I see. That's what you're asking me. You're asking about dover mo'uch. K'moi bei chashilta d'shchitas chulin. If you look in chulin, Daf Tzadi Gimel also uses the word chashilta. Bei, what does bei mean? Eggs, crushed eggs. And that's why he said, oh, I see what you mean. You basically are asking me chashilta. What does the word chashilta mean? Crushed. If you only would have used the word chashilta in the beginning, then I would have known what you were talking about. I didn't know what you were talking about because you used this strange word called trima. Baruch Hashem, Ravina saved the day. And Ravina gave us a whole bunch of options which clearly showed us what the shaila is all about. So Robert turns around and says, oh, you're asking me chashilta, which means crash. What a shame. Why didn't you tell me that in the beginning? Oh, that's your question. Oh, that triggered his memory. Oh, now that reminds me. Yes, now that reminds me what Rav Asi said. Says Rashi, Mutter lasis mehen Trima She'enoi mafsido. What does it mean, ma'enoi mafsido? You're not damaging it. That's not considered damage. Ah, Alma. So what do I see from there? Did the mil say koi? We've had this expression early on in the parak. What does the mil say koi mean? It retains its status. Mil say means its matter or its status. It retains its status. If it didn't retain its status, you wouldn't be allowed to do it because you're ruining truma. If I am allowed to do it, clearly, the status is retained. Tekiven dahochi hu, comma. And seeing as this is the case, therefore, mevorchin oleho boire prichoitz. So if you take these dates, if you mash them up completely, then what? Maybe the bracha will change. If you have, like you said, apple puree, even if I don't consider it a drink, but that's completely a different change in status, therefore I'll make shahakal. But if I just crush the apples, but I don't make it into a completely different status, that would be considered trima. If it would be truma, bit of a tongue twister, you make truma into trima, no problem. Why? You're not master truma. It's considered to be the same status as it always was. And if that's the case, what would be the halacha with regard to the bracha? Also, same bracha. And that's what the Gemara says in conclusion. Vehilchasa tamri. If you had dates, va'avdinu trima, and you made them into trima, which means what? Crushed but not mashed. Mavorchin ilavayu. You make a bracha on them, bore prihoit. My timer, what is the reason? Bemilsaihu kaimi. They have stood in their status, kadami ikora, just like the beginning. End of studio. So again, we see a letter there. I hope you noticed. You saw the Zion there. Now here, again, we've been looking at a lot of halacha this month. I want to show you something very important now. Can you see in the Gemara there's a little letter Vav and there's a little letter Zion? You see the Vav, you see the Zion? Now, even before looking in the margin, right? That's how we find the source, you look in the margin. Even before looking in the margin, do you agree to me that when I see that Vav, that's not going to be a reference to Shulchan Aruch? Why not? Because that line in the Gemara is talking about Truma. Shulchan Aruch never discusses Truma. So what can it be a reference to? The Rambam. So look at that Vav. Look in the margin. Nun Aleph Hey Vav. Maimani Perek Yud Aleph Mehilchus Trumais. So it's Maimani. What does Maimani mean? Rambam. But if you look in the next line, Zayin Tamri, that might well be Alocha Lamaisa. So look in the margin again. That's Maimi Perechez Brachas. Then it says Toshulchan Aruch Erechaim Reish Beis Siv Zayin. So let's have a look at Reish Beis Siv. I'll get it. Reish Beis Siv Zayin.
Pause it.
So we look at Reish Beis Siv Zayin. We open the Shulchan Aruch. Tamarim Shemiachon. We had this word before, Ma'uch. Tamarim that you've grind up by yad, by hand. What's the halacha? Afilu hachi loy nishtanis. Their bracha has not changed. It's a fruit. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Pirish, afshin is rustic, even though you've ground it up, but you still make a bracha. Why? The adayin mamashon kayon. What does it mean? Mamashon, the mamish. The original content is still there, and therefore you would make a bracha pri priyates. And the Mishnah Berurah says the same would be, for example, with bracha pri hadomer as well. If you mash potatoes, it's still bracha pri hadomer.
Vegetable soup, how does it fit?
So that's a very different question. That's very more complicated because then you have an ikka and a tofu. They have an ikka and a tofu.
Mashed potatoes and hadamah?
Yes.
What about like a potato kugel that's completely mashed and there's nothing recognizable?
Hadamah. If you have one of these soup, these instant soups with potato
officially
content, yeah, that'd be a different question.
Although that's deeper in topic, yeah.
I used to have these mashed potatoes.
It's not
the
potatoes.
Yeah, like flakes.
So with apple compote, it depends.
Now, I want to point out something very important, Alocha L'maisa. I want to read to you again the words of the Mishnah Berurah because I missed out some of the words. Again, Tamarim Shemiachon Bayad, says the Mishnah Berurah the following, listen very carefully. Pirish, Af Shenistrasek Aliyadezer, even though it's become crushed through this Legamri. Why? Because Mamashon is Kayam. At least the original status, it's still there. You haven't taken it out. It's still there. Now, the Ramah says, the Yesh Oimrim, some suggest that you say Shehachar. Some say you say Shehachar. there is a discussion exactly how to learn the Rimor. It sounds like he's disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah has a whole discussion whether he is or isn't disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah concludes it's irrelevant. In this particular case, we pass him out the Shulchan Aruch. Now, if you look in the Bi'ah Halacha adds words of explanation, and he says, even though if you look in Rashi, the Trumas Hadeshen is in fact Medayik, this Rashi, even if you look in Rashi, you will see that what? The Trima Hu Dafka Keshehein Kesushim Ktsas. Remember, that's how Rashi learned this whole sugya. And according to that, if it's Kesushim Legamri, then it jolly well would change the brachas. Why are you telling me we pass now the Shulchan Aruch that doesn't change the bracha? Rashi says Mefurash only Ktsas. So he says, yeah, but everybody is Chaylik. He brings the Beis Yosef and a Morgan Avram and an Eli Rabba and a Shulchan Aruch Harav and a Chaya Odom. Everybody is Chaylik. Afilu benistrasku legamri im nikar b'miktas, as long as it is slightly recognizable. One second. Mahus hapri. It's still recognizable pre. In other words, sometimes you mash it up, you wouldn't even know where it came from. Another occasion, you mash it up, I can see the Mahus HaPri. I can see the Mahus HaPri. Then, Loi Nishtanes Birkoson. And he brings a whole long list of other poskim who say that way, and then in conclusion he says that actually some learn Rashi differently. Even Rashi says Kesushim Ktsas, but doesn't mean Ktsas, a whole discussion. But Al Kaponim, that seems to be the bottom line. Mishnah Berurah is passing absolutely clearly. But even if it's mashed completely, the bracha would still remain as long as it is in some way recognizable what the original item was. But if it's been pulverized and I see this yellow juice, I've got no idea did it come from an apple or a potato or a carrot, then it's definitely charcoal. Even if it's not liquidized. If it's liquidized anyway, we said fruit juice is charcoal.
Do you have to recognize it, or someone telling you what it is enough?
Has to be nikkur. Nikkur to who? I don't know. To rave people, I would guess. Nikkur to the world. Okay. Big sugya. Okay. We're making a start. We will not be able to finish it today. We're making a start to a very, very, very important sugya. What do I mean by that? Because every sugya is very, very important. But this one's also a very, very important sugya. Again, with very much halacha lemaaseh ramifications. Remember we once discussed earlier on in the perek, and we said we're going to come back to it, and this is it. What is the story with halachas of making brachas on medicine? This is the sugya. It's a very important sugya, and we distinguished earlier on in the perek, and remember, it's one of the first sugyas we did. On the Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, we might have to come back to it, not today. But that was the sugya number HaChoshesh B'Groinoi, Lo Yiranu B'Shemen B'Shabbos. And the Gemara eventually said, yeah, Nigroin, that's right. And the Gemara eventually said that because you're Nene, if you benefit from it, you make a bracha. So we're going to have to come back to that sugya, but for today we're going to make a start to our sugya, and we're going to see what the halachas is of making bracha on Refuah. Says the Gemara. Shesisa.
Reason is one dot, not two.
I don't know. Shasisa. We ran out of dots. Yehoshua bin Nun. You know the story of the dots? Yehoshua bin Nun. What was his name originally? Hoshea. So he got an extra yud. Where does he get the yud from?
Sarah.
Sarah. Because Sarah was initially called Sarai. So he got the yud. The question is, the yud that he received from Sarai, what are the dots, or what are the nekudos under the yud in Sarai? There aren't any. There aren't any. So he got the yud without any dots. So how does he all of a sudden become called Yehoshua? Yehoshua's got two dots. Where did he get those extra two dots from? Where did he get the Shua from? Some Farshim say because initially he was called Hoshea Ben Nun. Under the base is a stego with three dots. But now he needed two under the Yud, so he had to switch to Yeshua Ben Nun. There's only one dot there, and two are spare, and those went underneath the Yud, then it becomes Yehoshua. It also means a son, but it's not pronounced the same. Because you lost your two dots. Okay. Shasisa. What is Shasisa? Says Rashi. Shasisa Michael, it is the food. Heosui, which is made mikemach kloyois. What is kemach kloyois? Dried out, heated flour. Shenisyabshu batanur, which is dried out in an oven. Ba'oid shehashibolim lachim, whilst the grain is still damp, moist. So you put this grain in the oven, it's moist. It becomes heated and dried out, and that is used to make shasisa. So shasisa is a food made out of baked or dried out kernels or cloyes. Now we'll have to see more, what exactly did you do with it, how did you eat it, what's its purpose? Shasisa Rav Omar Shakel Niabidvoroi Ushmuel Omar Bari Minei Mizoinis. So Shmuel says Bari Minei Mizoinis because where does it come from in the beginning? Kloyos, grain, kernels of wheat. Rav for some reason says no, Shakel Niabidvoroi. Now, Omar of Chista says Rav Chista Veloi Pligi. There is actually no machlekas whatsoever. How can you say there's no machlekas? One said shahakal, one said mazoinis. There obviously is a machlekas. No, they're talking about two different versions of shisisa. What does that mean? Omer Rav Chista v'loy pligi ho ba'avo ho barako. Avo means thick, rako means, literally means thin, more liquidy mixture, right? In other words, avo la'achila of delay. If it's made into a thick mixture, then what? Its purpose is primarily for eating. And then what will be the bracha? Says Rashi, uba milsei kaima. It's retained its original status, it always was food, it continues to be food, it's made out of a chamishas minim, and therefore it would be bremen mazinus. But if it's rako, then what? L'rafuaka of dila. Then what? When it's made for medicinal purposes, because it's made rako, therefore its purpose is not to eat. You're not taking it because you're hungry or to fill you up, but rather you're taking it for refuah purposes, and therefore what? The bracha becomes shahakoil. Now again, so this is what we have to work out, and this is what we're going to see, is it's a tricky little sugya. Is it the intent, or is it the nature of the mixture? What happens if, for whatever reason, I'm very hungry and I happen to enjoy rako? I enjoy it when it's liquidized. Or at least not completely liquidized, but soft, runny. So I'm not doing it for a four. So what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara has brought in two factors. Avo, rako. Achila, refuah. Which one is the main one? What happens if, in theory, a doctor prescribes this shasisa as a thick mixture for a four? What's halacha for them? We were told that avo is mezainus. Why? Because it's for achila. But no, but this is not for achila, it's for a four. In other words, what is the all-important factor? Is it the nature of the mixture? Or like you said, Rabbi Yosef, is it the intent, the purpose for which this was going to be consumed? We'll keep it open, question mark, for the moment. Now, what immediately hits us is that when something is being taken for refuah, what's halacha? He's making a bracha.
Oh, yeah.
He's making a bracha. Now again, we're starting afresh. We have no preconceived notions, but that's what it sounds like. Sounds like an Al Gemara that if you have a food that you're taking for refuah, the halacha is you make a bracha. Which bracha? Shachol nibud for. Says the Gemara, Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked the following question. The Shovin, they agree. Who's they? Whoever is discussing in Shabbos, doesn't matter. This is a quote. Sheb Boichashim. What does Boichashim mean?
Sir?
Rashi says, Sir, Megisin Bakaf. One stirs with a spoon, la arva yofa, to mix well b'meimov in its liquid. You're allowed to stir on Shabbos. What? Sheboichashin es hashosois. What's shosois?
Liquid.
Shasista.
Oh,
it's our shasista. And also v'shoisin zeisum hamitzri. You're also allowed to drink Egyptian zeisum. So Rashi Mefurash from Sefer Pesachim, have a look there for further details. Obviously we're interested for the purpose of our sugya in the first line. It says you're allowed to stir shosos. And what shosos? Shasista. Okay, what's that got to do with us? That is the end of the quote. It says the Gemara, the East Al Kedatech Lerefua Komechavein. And if you're going to tell me that when you make shasisa, its purpose is, at least when it's made into a soft mixture, its purpose is for Refua. Refua B'Shabbos Mi Shari. Refuah on Shabbos is not permitted at all. So what are you busy stirring this for? What, to take refuah? You're not allowed to take refuah on Shabbos. So how can you tell me that shasisa is made for what? Either for achila or for refuah. But it can be made for refuah, so why are you stirring it on Shabbos? Look at Tosfos. Not the Veshovin Sheboichashin. We're not going to get involved in that Tosfos. He's discussing Hilchas Losh. On Shabbos, we're not talking about. Have a look at Tosfos. Ve'isal Kedatach. Ve'isal Kedatach l'refuah avdilei. Refuah b'Shabbos mishari. Destoiva, because he held. Dekivan, they take out the word dekol, the bach. Dekivan she'ikroi l'refuah. Because its primary purpose is what? Refuah ve'ein regilus la'asoisoi le'tzeirech achila. And the regilus, what does that mean, regilus? The norm is not to make it for achila. Therefore, asa b'Shabbos. You always look at its main purpose. Apparently its main purpose, we'll have to see why exactly that is for refuah. So if its main purpose is for refuah, and it's not normally made, let's say a chachila, so we ask it to be involved with this on Shabbos, because the halachas of refuah. So how can you tell me that shasisa you make a bracha of shahakril? Why? Because it's for refuah. If it really refuah, what are you eating on Shabbos for? Not allowed to take refuah on Shabbos. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. We're going to hold it over here. What I would recommend is as follows. It's a tricky little sugya. We need to get till the two dots, which is the fourth bottom narrow line. Have you got those? Boy Baruchi. And we need to see the bottom tosis, the entire bottom tosis. In addition to that, I'll glean to send out today. There's a sheet of Marmakomis. You'll see basically there's a Rambam and a couple of Rashbos, also Rabbeinu Yoina. Very important to see, and we're going to have to try and work out this again. Hashem, and then as we mentioned, what we have to try and work out initially is, like I said before, what is the all-important factor? Is it intent? Or is it dependent on the nature of the mixture, avo and rako? Because really the Gemara's question is a little bit tricky. It says you're allowed to stir shosses on Shabbos. Okay, maybe that's talking about avo, which you're making for achila. How do you jump to conclusions for refuah? So Tosfos says no, because ikra ila refuah. How do you know? Thought that depends on avo and rako. So we'll need to work that out, and then we need to work out this concept of hana'ah. Now, just before we close up shop today, just as a word of introduction to the next line of the Gemara, we know that there's an issa of refuah on Shabbos. The issa of refuah on Shabbos does not entail any melacha whatsoever. There is a separate discussion which has nothing to do with our Gemara. Are you allowed to do melachos for the purpose of a chayla? The Raisas, the Rabbanans, that's not our discussion at all. What are we talking about? Simply taking refuah. Refuah is absolutely no melacha, just taking a tablet. And yet Chazal said it's asa. Why is it asa? Because we're worried it might come to a melacha, because you'll grind up shchika samamonim, you'll grind up herbs, therefore refuah is asa. Fine. However, Chazal says refuah is only asa if it's recognizable that it's refuah. So I take a tablet, that's clearly an act of medication. What happens if I have a very, very sore throat and my mother tells me, oh, have good Friday night chicken soup, it's the best thing for your throat. Now, I'm taking it completely for medicinal purposes. I'm not talking about that I happen to enjoy the soup anyway and it's got a little side benefit. I'm not hungry at all. In fact, I don't even like chicken soup. But I've been told that if I have chicken soup, it's good for my throat. The halacha is, you're allowed to eat that on Shabbos, even if you're intending completely for medicinal purposes. Why? Because it's an oichel. It's an oichel. It's the food that even healthy people eat. Michael Brian. It's a food that healthy people eat as well. Therefore, when I see you drinking your chicken soup, it's not in any way recognizable that it's being done for a fool.
It's just an error, which is what the Gemara is going to say, right?
Or if I say I've got a sore throat, I have a hot tea. Mutak lachatchira, no problem at all. Some people say that for indigestion, it's good to have dried fruits, prunes, or whatever it is. So that's an eichel, it's not medicine. In other words, the Issur on Shabbos is to take medicine, but not food for medicinal purposes. Which, by the way, and it's going to be based on our sugya, would you believe it? Maybe we'll see it together. Famous, famous discussion. Big tshuva in the Igros Moshe Moshe Feinstein, very near to all you Americans. Are you allowed to take vitamins on Shabbos? Vitamins. It is well known to us Brits that vitamins don't do anything for anybody.
taking
vitamins?
Yeah.
So we never have, but all Americans take vitamins.
Vitamins are good, but vitamins
are not. The doctor told me to take them.
Yeah, he's not English.
You get babies, you get vitamin D.
So we, growing up, never knew what vitamins are. We know, we just said have an orange because it's got vitamin C in it. We didn't know what C was, whatever it is. So it's a big shaila. If many people take vitamins, even if they're perfectly healthy, not because they're ill, so you'll have to take them on Shabbos. That's the big discussion. Does it now, even though it looks like a tablet, but maybe it's constituted food because everybody's eating it. It looks like, I treat it as a candy. What happens if you have a sore throat? I say, here, have a hard-boiled sweet candy. That's mutter. No hard-boiled sweet, is there's the hard-boiled sweets. This guy's on anything. What's going on here? What do you call it? Candy.
Candy.
Yeah, but you think candy is like a jelly or something like that.
No. That would be like a jelly candy.
Like a jelly candy.
But you can't have it in public. You can't have it in
public.
Yeah,
but don't eat it in the streets. Otherwise, run into different issues.
Oh, you're right.
No, this guy's the first call for now today. Huh?
Just for Gedolim.
That's you, no? Over 6 foot. I'll call upon it open. If you have a sore throat, you're allowed to have chicken soup, you can have a hot lemon tea, you can have a candy, no problem. Why? Because that's an oichel. which, by the way, now I know we're veering off, but we're not really veering off, has other ramifications even not with regard to food. Because the issa of refuah might also refer to something which is not food. If I've got a stomachache and I'm told, here, lie down in your bed with a hot water bottle. Is there an issa of refuah on Shabbos? Or do you say, no? Again, it's not recognizable as refuah. A lot of people go to bed with a hot water bottle. Maybe in the summer it's different to the winter. If I see you in a baking hot summer lying with a hot water bottle, I know obviously you're not feeling well, you're doing it for medicinal purposes. But in the winter, I just say, whatever, you're cold. Etc., etc., etc. So the whole discussion of vitamins is a tshuva in the Igros Moshe, and it's based on our Gemara. So stay tuned. Okay, see you all tonight, Mr. Hashem. Thursday night, Parshas Shavuot.